Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today we've got Intel VP Kirk Skaugen in the studio. Welcome, Kirk.
Good to be here.
So, Kirk, your title recently changed at Intel in terms of the group that you're responsible for. Can you talk a little bit about the change at Intel and why this transition happened?
Yeah, I'm now managing a group called the Data Center and Connected Systems Group, and it's really the combination of what previously been the Data Center Group and our Embedded and Communications business. And the rationale behind that was a few years ago, we moved all the elements of the data center together, including wired networking, storage, and servers. And now we've included communications infrastructure equipment, as well as switching and routing into that. A few weeks ago, we also concluded our acquisition of Fulcrum, which gets us into the 10 and 40 gigabit switch business. So this now brings all aspects of the data center underneath that. On top of that, now I'm managing the embedded or the more intelligent connected devices beyond the PC. As we've said a few times, our Cloud 2015 vision, we see 15 billion connected devices to the internet. And so now if it's beyond the kind of the PC, TV, phone, and tablet, those devices that are going to generate this enormous amount of data are within that same group as our cloud computing group.
Can you tell us what an intelligent device is and where we would find them?
Our simple vision is if it consumes electricity, it's ultimately going to become intelligent and connected to the internet, most likely wirelessly. 15 billion devices is going to really touch our lives in so many ways, from point of sale to different kiosks, ATM machines, smart signs, cars. So 15 billion, when you think about it that way, is not that big.
How are we going to manage that vast amount of data that's being created? And you know, people have been throwing around this term big data. How big is big data?
Well, I think, you know, we've said that in 2010, more data crossed the internet in just 1 year than the entire history of the internet up until 2010. So 245 exabytes of data or quintillion bytes of data. We see that growing to well over 1,000 exabytes of data by 2015. And so the business intelligence of being able to take all that unstructured data and do the analytics on it and give people really an instantaneous result, regardless of where they are in the world, means that the business analytics market, I think, is going to grow tremendously.
And obviously, underlying all of this is cloud. You outlined your cloud computing vision about a year ago, last October. Where do you think the industry is today in terms of execution?
Well, we're excited. We are the technical advisor to this new Open Data Center Alliance. And in the 19 years or so I've been at Intel, this is one of the fastest growing alliances I've seen in the industry. And it started about a year ago as 70 companies. And now it's over 300 companies representing $100 billion of IT spend. And in one short year, not only has the population grown, but they've published their usage model requirements to the industry. And this week here at Intel Developer Forum, they put out a press release talking about the first proof of concepts against those usage models. So I think it's a great way to ensure that the cloud evolves in an open standards-based way. I'm really happy to see not just the IT organizations, but the solution providers that have joined that organization. And then yesterday, we also announced that Facebook and their Open Compute Platform has agreed to join in a collaboration with the Open Data Center Alliance. So a lot of momentum ensuring the cloud evolves in an open standards-based way.
So getting to the Open Compute announcement, where is the intersect between Open Compute and Open Data Center Alliance? And why do you think that combination makes a lot of sense?
Well, I think Facebook believes, as part of their Open Compute platform, that the more volume that's attributed to that, the lower the costs will be for people like themselves in the industry. So they very much believe in this open standards approach, and the Open Data Center Alliance is off trying to accomplish the same thing. So it's really the hardware fulfillment of the usage models that the Open Data Center Alliance is trying to advocate for.
You know, I heard you talk at IDF about our next generation Sandy Bridge product. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, so here at the Intel Developer Forum, we announced a few things. One, that we're in the revenue production for the Sandy Bridge two-socket EP product. Our early demand is really unprecedented. In fact, relative to our last TOC processor, Nehalem, we're seeing early demand in these first few months of 20 times what we saw just on the Nehalem. So we're very excited about the ramp. We're seeing about twice the number of designs, over 400 designs around the world, 2x what we saw back in Nehalem. And the other thing we're quite excited about is the Knights family of products. And that's on track to have over 100 end users building software around it by the end of the year, which was our commitment. It'll come to market on 22 nanometer with more than 50 cores.
Wow.
And we're seeing a tremendous amount of excitement in the industry about the programming model for that architecture as well.
I know that some of the customers have been already getting their hands dirty with Mike. Can you give us a sense of what the early experiences have been and where they see benefit from that product?
So whether you're in the Xeon or in this coprocessor solution, the programming simplicity means you can take a single set of source code, run it through our next generation compilers, VTune performance libraries, etc., and literally within minutes, days, not months or quarters, get incredible performance results. And there's plenty of quotes on our website that are talking about the advantage that customers had. In some cases, we had customers that literally just put one line of code into their source and saw linear scaling against the 32 cores that are in the current software development platform. You know, unlike other approaches, we're not asking people to learn a completely new language or programming model. We're telling people, take all of the work you've done on multi-threading and Intel architecture processing, and you'll get immediate benefits on the Mike architecture when it comes out.
Finally, networking. You mentioned the Fulcrum acquisition. Where do you see the challenges in networking as we transition to this world of massive data moving across the world at what needs to be very quick paces?
I think, you know, our objective is to connect another billion people to the internet, and a lot of that's going to be done with new cloud services. The cost of a service to connect another billion people in emerging markets around the world has to come down. And so, you know, Intel announced its first 10 gigabit adapter, Ethernet adapter, back in 2005 or 6 years later, and the market has not transitioned. So we need to ensure that, and our customers are asking us to accelerate the transition of I/O to ensure we have balanced platforms at the memory level, at the processing level, and at the I/O level. And so that's what we want to try to get done at the network.
Very exciting. Lots of dense data that you've provided in this interview, Kirk. Thank you very much for being on the program. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.